We have a wonderful guest speaker. Lloyd, would you come up here? Maybe you've met Lloyd. He's part of our church congregation, and he's filling in for me today. I asked him to preach before Christmas, and then he got deathly ill. And we prayed a lot for Lloyd. Here he is again, live and well. God has given him strength. Yeah, it's great. So, Lloyd, I don't share my pulpit very often. I trust you to share what God has given you for us. So can I pray for you before we go? God, thank you so much for Lloyd, that he is a trustworthy man, that faithfulness is on his heart. God, I pray that you would give him words. The words you've already given him would be words that speak to us, that your spirit would flow through him and the anointing of preaching your word would come from him to our ears, and that we would be able to hear and obey, to equip them to our lives and be as we hunger for you, transformed into new creation, to what you have called us to be. In your name, amen. There you go.
And so I want to share this morning some of my passions with you, and they come from the Word of God. I have lots of passions, lots of things that I enjoy and love to do, but really, my heart says my passions are these, and I'm going to read them because it's just simpler. To see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to have them grow in their faith and walk with Jesus, to be strengthened and empowered by Jesus, and to live and in freedom and peace in Jesus. So if you want to know more about that, you can connect with me at another time. But here at Five Corners, I believe that my passions are happening. Do you believe that here at Five Corners? We're excited to be believers in Jesus, are we not? So I'm excited to be here. So as David always says, Pastor David says, well, at Five Corners, we do things differently here. So we break off into little groups of 6 to 8 people, and we answer the questions, hopefully, that will come up on the wall, and we discuss them and share with each other, and then we go into the sermon part later. So I think without any hesitation, we can bring those questions up. And I will read those questions for you. What does faithfulness mean to you? Share a time in your life when you experienced faithfulness, and how did it make you feel? So let's break up into groups and let's share. So let's return. It sounded like there were a lot of people sharing a lot of things about faithfulness this morning, which is really great. I want to share personally something that, as David mentioned, last late fall I was very sick, and I want to share how faithfulness felt to me, because I knew that you folks here at Five Corners Church were faithful in praying for me, as I was just not doing well at all in any capacity, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It was all shut down. And I wasn't doing well, but I knew that you folks here were faithful to me in praying, which meant that you were faithful to God, because God asks us to intercede for our brothers and sisters when they are in need. So I want to just say thank you to you, my brothers and sisters. Together, you helped me go through what I had to go through for whatever reason. So thank you very much. So I have 4 aspects of faithfulness that I'd like to go through this morning. And because the world does not talk about faithfulness much, maybe you found it even challenging this morning, although a lot of talking was going on. Maybe there was some challenges around talking about faithfulness, because all the movies are about what? Not being faithful, vengeance, getting people back for what they've done, unforgiveness. That's what all the movies are about. So I don't know how well a movie would sell in the theaters these days if it was just about faithfulness. Probably wouldn't get much attention, would it? But that's what we're about as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. Why are we that way? Because, number one, and that's my first point, is God is faithful. Amen? God, our almighty God, is faithful. Am I making that up? No. I'm taking it straight from Scripture. So I will be going through a lot of Scripture this morning, and I'm going to try and finish in a decent time because I love to talk about God, and I love to talk about His Word. So I will try and finish in time so you can go home and have some lunch in a decent time. I'm not promising anything, but I'll try. So, is God faithful? Thank you. Let's try that one more time. Is God faithful?
Yes.
Amen. Yes, He is. So, I'm going to start, and I'm going to be going back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm not picking a particular passage to study this morning. I'm going to be going all over the Bible. And why am I going to do that? I'll answer that question. I am going to do that to prove to you that the Word of God, the Bible, Scripture, is consistent all the way through about God's faithfulness to us. So we'll start in Exodus, and it's the story of Moses, and the people of Israel want to get out of Egypt. And God gives Moses very clear instructions. And Moses, well, sometimes he doubted, and he goes, well, God, yeah, but the people are going to ask, well, why should we be doing this? And who should I say is going to be giving me these instructions and going to be faithful? And God's fantastic response is simple. Just tell them, I am. It's pretty simple. I am. And then he clarifies again, I am who I am. That's as simple as it gets, folks. God is faithful because he is who he is. Other scriptures that speak very clearly about God's faithfulness, and if I had to choose a passage and work our way through it, it would be a few verses, and it would be Isaiah 41. I encourage you this morning, if you have a tablet or an iPhone or a pencil and paper, pen, whatever, write down, because I'm going to cover a lot of scripture verses, and I'd love for you to take them home, read them, and study them for yourselves, especially the verses before and after the verses that I'm going to quote to you. So Isaiah 41, we'll start at verse 10, and this is specifically about God's faithfulness. We've got to keep this in mind. That's my first point, God's faithfulness. Verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness. Verse 13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And then in verses 17 through 20, it's a whole bunch of stuff about God doing the impossible. Do we believe that God can do the impossible? Amen. So he makes something happen, sometimes, out of nothing. And then the question is, why? And in this passage in Isaiah 41, it says, why does God share faithfulness with his people? Why? Why is God faithful to us? And then it gives a very clear answer in verse 20. So the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. God is faithful, and he is faithful to you. He allows you to go through things, but why does he do it? So that we know and understand that the hand of the Lord is on us and with us. Joshua was taking over the leadership of the people of Israel from Moses. And this is what God said to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. More scripture. Lamentations 3:22-21. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies endure forever. They never come to an end. We are never consumed by the world around us and all that's happening. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And then great is your faithfulness, O God. So Hebrews 13, New Testament. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation says, and Jesus is saying this, I was dead, now I am alive. I am supreme. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Not the devil, not the demons, not the fallen angels, not anybody that has any evil influence. Jesus says, I hold the keys, and I'm in control. And so, sorry, devil, Satan, evil one, whatever you want to call him, you lose, and Jesus wins. Amen? God is faithful. So, another word that I'm going to use for my point one and God's faithfulness is power. He is all powerful. He's almighty. He's almighty God with all power. So Colossians says in verse 16 of chapter 1, for by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers. And other versions say dominions or rulers and authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is almighty. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Other versions say, have their being and exist because of. So, God is faithful. He is supreme. He is the only one in charge, the only one in control. So, if we believe that, then we have something that we need to do to respond to that faithfulness. God is faithful. He represents faithfulness. And thank you to the worship team this morning. The unbelievable presence of the Holy Spirit in the worship this morning, so much linking to what I am going to be speaking on yet, is incredible. The glory of God, the worship, the foundation that we have in him, the faithfulness, all the songs. Did you listen to the words this morning? Wow, he is so good to us. So, and we didn't sing it this morning, I don't think, unless it slipped right by me, but we sing a song that was introduced to us. You are the same God. We are standing on the rock of ages. You are the healer now. You were the healer then. You are the same God then, and you're the same God now. So we're going to go into the second aspect of faithfulness. And I have 4 points, like I said, 4 aspects of faithfulness. This one is based on our belief that God Almighty is supreme, completely faithful, and in control. So the second point is your faithfulness to God in responding and relying on him and going to him all the time. So anybody can probably go around and believe, yep, there's a God, he's in control out there. But in order for us to appreciate, respect his faithfulness to us, we have a part to play. And that is, we have to be faithful to him. So how do we go about doing that? We're not taught in our society to be, other than on sports, probably, in sports. We're not taught to be team players. We're taught to be individualistic, do it for yourself, numero uno, who cares, get to the top no matter what it takes, crush anybody on the way, doesn't matter. That's our society. Not really caring about being a team. Well, at Five Corners, we are a team. We are together as a family. And so I'm going to read some more scripture because really my words don't matter. God's does, right? So Joshua again, chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and courageous and lead these people. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. be careful to obey all of the law, my servant Moses, and all that he gives you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And you know what? Then you'll be successful in whatever you do. That's appealing. Verse 8 of this same passage says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Listen carefully. It says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. So there's a condition, not conditioned on God's love for us and his faithfulness to us, but in order for us to have, and it's not the worldly success, you're not going to just because you follow and meditate on his word become a millionaire or a billionaire. That's not the success and prosperous we're talking about. It's more about our walk with God. So if I put power under the righteous or the faithfulness of God, I'm now going to put the personal on the faithfulness of God. It's our personal relationship with the all-powerful God. So I think where it hits the road is, for most of us, we've experienced a time in our lives where we have been completely overwhelmed and didn't know what to do. Felt like we just should maybe pass away from this earth and be done with this whole thing because it's too hard, it's too tough, and I'm tired. And maybe for some of you, it's been recent. Maybe it's been this last week. Maybe you have felt absolutely and completely overwhelmed this week or in the last month. Whether that's with your finances, whether that's with vehicle problems, whether that's with relationships, your family's broken, whether this COVID thing has separated your family and you're really just feeling really yucky about that whole thing. Whatever it is that you're feeling overwhelmed with, here's where it comes into play, God's faithfulness and our faithfulness together. So I've heard people say, kind of the crap keeps hitting the fan in my life, how come? Or I'm just a big bundle of mess. Is there anything I can do about it? Maybe there's a constant nagging. I know some people have this, where if people only knew who I really was, or what I really thought, or what I really done, they wouldn't love me, and I would just be alone. Well, with God, we know that's not true, because he is faithful. So what I'm going to challenge you to do this morning is, if you've had any of those thoughts, or other thoughts that are just not about praising God, worshiping God, and you're just not feeling it, stop. That's my challenge. Stop. And then you need to come back to the fact that God is faithful. And we need to experience him. So what does Scripture say about this? Stop where you're at and let's go to God in our in his faithfulness, in our faithfulness. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? But he says, trust. And then in Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. For the Lord is near. So why am I quoting more scripture? Let me quote another scripture to tell you why I'm quoting scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God, that's you and I, that's everyone here, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So anything that God is calling you to do, where do we get that thoroughly equipped from? The Word of God. That's why I'm reading so much of the Word of God this morning. So our society says, if you're not happy, get out, give up, walk away, whether that's in a marriage, whether that's in a relationship, whether it's in a job. It says, get out of there, start fresh, a new break, a new start, run away, fly away, walk away. Is that what God calls us to do? No, on the contrary, this is what God says. I am, I was, I is, and I am to come. That's my phraseology. But in Philippians chapter 4:4-8, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we do that, then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Anybody need a heart and mind that needs to be protected by God this morning, by Jesus? I do. James 4:8. Are you a friend of the world? Are you doing with the world? I guess every time I turn my head, I bump into this mic. I should stop doing that. Are you a friend of the world? Are you in that same category of just give up, you know? I need a new wife. I need a new husband. I need new kids. I don't want anything to do with them anymore. I need a new job. I need a new car. I need a new house. Are you in that category? God says, no, I am enough. I am enough for you. Come to me, and I will be faithful. I'll give you direction. Verse 7 of that James 4 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You ever had that experience where you knew that the devil was bugging you? And so you went to God and you said, okay, help, and poof, the devil left you and you felt free again? That can happen to us all the time if we choose. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, yes, and even wait for the Lord. There's a song by Brian Duncan. My kids know the music well because I play it in my CD player in my truck all the time, and they get tired of it. Oh, not this again, Daddy. But he sings a song, and the words are fantastic. It says, it gets better the closer I get to the one I love. If we're struggling in life, how close are you to the one you love? Not your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, not that. To the one you love, God Almighty, who is faithful to us. How close are you to him? The closer you get, the better it gets. He's our source of relief in this life of yuckiness. Interesting about God and Jesus, and he's very clear about this in Hebrews. He says, for we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to sympathize in our weakness. For he was tempted in every way, just as us, as we were. Let us approach the throne of grace. That's go into his presence and into his faithfulness with confidence. Sorry about the mic. I keep bumping it with my beard or something. So my challenge, back to the stop. Stop the whirlwind of emotion and thoughts that are going around in your head, and the I don't know what to do. Stop that. Find a quiet place. And I challenge you, if you are feeling any of those feelings that I mentioned before, go sit, grab the Bible, cry, yell, scream, whisper, whatever you want to do, and say, help me, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to me. Help me to know what to do. Because if you do, he will answer you. He's faithful. Amen? He's faithful. We tend to, as a society, just go on our way and do our thing and trying to put up with how we feel. That's not God's plan. We need to get closer to him so we can be better. I'm going to hurry through my rest of my notes so that I can tackle the third and fourth points. My third point and aspect of faithfulness has to do with practice. So reviewing, point number one was the power of God. Point number two, this is all to do with faithfulness, was our personal relationship with God. Point three in this aspect of faithfulness is practice. How do we become faithful in our practice being faithful to God? Well, we do it here. We share with each other. What is God doing in your life? What miracle has he done in your life? What prayer answer have you experienced? What are you struggling with? This is what I love about Five Corners Church. We have discussion time. We have a time when we can share what is going on in our lives. And we can pray with each other. This is the place, folks, this is the place to practice. Practice sharing what God is, who God is, what does he do, what has he done for us, what difference has God made in our lives. This is the practice. This is the playground. This is the place to practice, because this is a safe place. Amen? Safe. So I have a bunch of scriptures for that too. I'm just going to move right along because we're getting to the end. I want to tell you a story. I went on a youth missions trip to Northern Ireland, not the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland. And while I was there, I was billeted out to an older gentleman's home, and he said to me, well, there were a couple of us staying there. He said, would you guys like to go to a football game? And we were young. This is many years ago. I said, yes, let's go to a football game. You understand that football over there is soccer. So he takes us to this football game, soccer game, and it was Northern Ireland against England. Talk about rivalry. Wow. So this the field was actually split in half, not the literal field, but the stadium. Because that side of the field were all England fans. This side of the field was all Northern Ireland fans. I've never, ever experienced this before, ever. I mean, they have the cement risers like they do down at the arena. You can sit on these cement. If you're lucky, you bring a pad to sit on. The cheering there, no one sat down. Everybody is standing the entire game, an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes, however long the game takes. They're all standing, and they are chanting, and they are cheering, and they are yelling at the top of their lungs the entire game. It's not, yeah, we scored, woohoo, and then watching the play, and oh, good play. No. The entire game, screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs. Because why? They were excited, and they were supporting their team. So it was a participatory sport by the fans. The fans were participating. I feel like that's happening here at Five Corners. We're participating together. We're cheering and we're celebrating about what God has done in our lives and his faithfulness. Amen? Has God been faithful to you in the last week? Yeah, I'm sure he has, whether you acknowledge it or not. So, now I'm going to move right on to point four. The aspect, another aspect of faithfulness is really practical. And what is that? Guess what, folks? Because we've done the practice here, now it's time to grab those booklets out in the foyer and go and talk to our neighbors and go and talk to the coworkers that we work with, go talk to our other family, friends, people that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and share what we've just shared in here in celebrating Jesus as Lord, as our faithful God. That's the final fourth point. So we've got the power of God that we can go to and have a personal relationship and be enthused, excited, healed. He will answer your prayer. If you go to God and say, help, he will answer. When he does, you can come here and you can share that word and that encouragement with other people and support them and say, hey, look, try this because that worked and God really answered and he healed my body or he answered my prayer or look what he's done in my family. Things have been restored or a broken relationship has brought. Whatever God is doing, he will do it. And we're celebrating here. But now you're all practiced up, ready to go, trained, as you want to believe it. You are trained, if you're practicing here, to go out into the real world, make it practical, and start sharing the gospel. That's what's on my heart this morning. The system is set in place. Do you notice that three out of the four points have to do with us and our faithfulness to our faithful God? We have a role to play in fulfilling God's faithfulness. He's faithful no matter what. But if we want to benefit and want others to benefit, we have a role to play. So, to review, God is always faithful. When we are overwhelmed and we go to him, we can have personal healing and be restored. And then we need to come and we need to share it with each other so we can be encouraged and supported in our walk with Jesus. And then we can go out into the world and share what he's done for us. we're all practiced up and ready to go. That's the Word of God, folks. I'm just quoting the Word of God, putting it into practical, real-life terms here, so I hope you got something out of it. Thanks for listening. Let's pray, and then we'll break into groups. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are here. I know I have your Holy Spirit living in me, and you, Almighty God, are working in me, and you're guiding my life. I pray the same for these people, everybody in the church, for the families that are represented here this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be in them and awaken a spirit of joy and celebration in you and be faithful. So that why? You would receive all the glory, God. Each person here would give God the glory. That's the purpose of why you do these things for us. So we pray that you would receive the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you leaving a faithful legacy for the next generation? A faithfulness. Are you faithful in your response to God's faithfulness and what he has done for you? And if so, how are you doing that? What does it look like? So go ahead, break off into your groups again, and may God wonderfully bless your day. He is faithful. I hope you feel his faithfulness and respond to him. Amen.